Hello and welcome to the Evidence-Based Medicine Podcast, where every episode we'll discuss a landmark clinical trial that has shaped medicine as we know it. My name is Daniel Aronov and I'm so excited to launch this podcast. In this podcast, we'll discuss the most important clinical trials in medicine, the ones that have shaped our current practice of medicine, the ones that have been the basis of guidelines, and the ones we should all probably know about to improve the care of our patients. I must admit, I didn't really like evidence-based medicine during medical school. I found it boring and complicated and blech. But now I love it, and I want to share it with everyone. I want to show you that it's not boring. I want to show you that actually it's really important. Firstly, it's important because unfortunately, it's the only way to access information in the details that our patients deserve to know. I mean, we can look at guidelines, but all they will do is say, if such and such a clinical scenario, use drug A. But they don't give you details about the magnitude of the benefit. The guidelines won't let you know how likely drug A will help them. For example, the guidelines may say to use amitriptyline first line for migraine prevention, but it won't tell you how likely it is to reduce your patient's migraines. But if you look at the systematic review, you can see that 40% of people had improvements in their migraine symptoms with daily amitriptyline versus 25% of people who took the placebo. It will also tell you the harms and how often they are likely to occur. So it can give you better tools to be able to talk to your patients about therapies that you want to initiate. Another example would be a guideline recommending, say, ezetimibe for prevention of cardiovascular disease in those with high cholesterol. The guideline will never tell you the decrease in cardiovascular disease you can expect from the drug. You'll only get that by looking at the evidence. In this case, it was the IMPROVE-IT trial, and there you'll see that over 7 years of use in very high-risk patients, ezetimibe reduced cardiovascular disease by 2%. We should definitely cover this trial in another episode. And again, this can help you talk to your patients about this drug. The second reason why evidence-based medicine is important is because we're constantly being barraged by drug company reps. You know, with their free lunches and drug samples and ridiculously good-looking features. Well, they will come at you with a very biased perspective of what they are trying to sell you. Knowing how to use evidence-based medicine can put you back in control to see the information in an unbiased way so that you can be better informed about when it's right for your patients. There is so much medical literature out there, it can be impossible to keep up. That's why I'm doing this podcast, so that you know about the most important studies and the most important medications, and so that you don't need to rely on drug companies to keep you up to date. This podcast is the product of a really immense passion for evidence-based medicine. Musicians might understand the feeling of being so in love with a song that the only way you can release or express that love is by actually playing the song. Listening to it a million times just won't quench that love for the song. Only playing it will. So that's why I'm doing this podcast, to express my love for evidence-based medicine and to get more people to appreciate the beauty and the importance of it. Now, this podcast is pitched to beginners, so you don't need to know statistics or have done research or anything like that. So, thanks for listening. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and feel free to tweet me at Dr. Aronov. That's at DRARONOV. You can also check out the website www.ebmpodcast.com. Well, that's it for this intro episode. Next time on Evidence-Based Medicine Podcast, we'll go through the SPRINT trial. You've probably heard about it because it's pretty much broken the internet and has sort of created a lot of opinions about blood pressure targets. This trial basically assessed which blood pressure target is better, less than 140 systolic or less than 120 systolic. My name is Daniel Aronov, and I'll talk to you next time.